Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. It is Monday, the 22nd of June. This is 2020, as I like to call it. Today is the Super Bowl of my people. And some of those people are here with me today. I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Oh, I've always wanted to be one of your people.
Well, today you were there for the Super Bowl of our people. And also with us, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Hey, Charlotte. I have a USB in my ear. USB storage in my ear because that keynote overflowed my brain.
Buffer overrun.
Literally, I think John needs a RAM upgrade or something. I don't know what.
I do.
Yeah. And the person we talked to about getting that upgrade is Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, I'm going to have to deny that. I'm just going to have to deny that right now. Hey, Kelly, good to be here. Thanks for having us on the TDO. Really appreciate it.
I'm so glad to have the three of you here with me today because we have so much to talk about. So we had the keynote today from the Worldwide Developers Conference. Apple did this today. They said it was live. And we got sort of one person at a time in different portions of the Apple campus with the mothership and all of that, the big round building.
I don't believe it was live. Who believes it was live? Thank you, Brian.
I think, okay, here's my theory. I think Tim was live, but I'm betting pieces of the other bits of it were recorded. I'm 100%
correct
with that.
I would agree with that. I very much agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fair. Because there was too much, like, there was too many jumping between different rooms. There was too much that was clearly like edited transitions.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty slick and smooth too. It looked very
screwed up in any way.
This is important. It's not as important as the announcements, but it's still important to me. The presentation was fantastic. They didn't just give us the multi-camera angle of the stage where they're pretending there's an audience or anything like that. They made a four-television presentation.
Very good point.
Yeah, 100%. Part of it on Friday, you know, Google canceled I/O and Microsoft did a watered-down build. But you can depend on Apple's production values and technical talent to pull off what they just did, which was awesome.
They thought differently about what they were doing, and they made the presentation fit the situation. And to me, they get lots of credit for that. And giddy up!
Did you see the notes at the end about social distancing?
Yes, that was one thing I wanted to talk about. Was right at the end, we got sort of the bits about like everyone was socially distanced as we did this. Everything was sanitized. Everyone except the person on screen was wearing a mask. Et cetera, et cetera. Now, I wouldn't have cared if they were wearing a mask. I thought that was, you know, nice. But I also enjoyed that everything that they said sort of came with, you know, and we'll get together again in the future. It's fine. And I really appreciated that sort of reassurance, I guess, from everyone.
Yeah, I thought they did it nicely. I thought Apple did it really well. It was a very Apple. It was a genuinely innovative way to do it. As Brian said, they didn't just make it multicam on the same stage that we're used to watching these kind of presentations. There was clearly a lot of it felt to me like there was a lot of green screening involved, very scripted, very slick. It was very high production values, absolutely. It came off well, and they sort of decided to make their point about how they'd been sticking to COVID-19 kind of rules and regulations and safety measures.
What was missing, however, was the typical WWDC grand video, Johnny Ive style, humorous, sweeping video introduction.
Oh, the intro. Yeah, there wasn't an intro.
It was kind of
wasn't called for this year.
Yeah, and we got, like, the thing that I liked about it was that there was, recognition, but we didn't dwell on 2020. Like, every time we saw the reminders list, it had, like, figure out DIY haircuts and things like that on it, you know? I think it was something like that, or order clippers for DIY haircuts, like, watch YouTube videos about haircuts or something. Yeah.
Easter egg spotting.
That's always the part I look for. So, there were moments like that, like, sprinkled throughout, and talking about, like, You know, when we get to the bit about photos, like socially distancing and, you know, those birds aren't far enough apart, things like that. So
just before we talk about the actual tech announcements, of which there are so many, I thought it was also worth noting on the actually, yes, you're right, they didn't dwell on all the kind of different things that are going on in the world at the moment. But Tim Cook did make a point right at the beginning. It can only have been about 30 seconds or a minute of saying, okay, we're going to, this is what, you know, going through Apple's attempts to improve racial equality, both within its, you know, within with its own initiative and with on its own campus, and also talked about some of the provisions it has been doing to help counteract COVID-19. And that was done quite nicely and sincerely, and it would have felt weird if that hadn't happened. But as you all have said, it didn't dwell, it didn't go on and on and on. It felt positive, and it was nice.
Yeah. I liked the acknowledgement of, like, this might be weird, but we're trying it. Let's see what happens, kind of spirit of it. And I really enjoyed that. One thing that stood out to me, and Brian, you may be able to back me up on this, but I think this was the first time that we saw someone in a wheelchair or other sort of device, personal mobility device, on stage at a presentation. And I know on stage I have to say is quotes, but she was part of the presentation and was sitting there talking about things, you know, and giving
on
us
camera on stage.
On camera on stage, yeah.
I don't know if we've had a wheelchair presenter in the past, but it was certainly part of Apple's ever increasing and ongoing efforts to make sure that the presenters on camera on stage are a diverse lot.
But it did strike me for that reason, and I appreciated that. I mean, aside from the fact that it was a very futuristic looking wheelchair, like, just to see somebody that was presenting like that on stage. And I was watching with my friend, hi Brittany, and she said if the issue before was the logistics of getting her on and off the stage, she should still be presenting, because you could cut to video of her, like John was saying at the beginning, like, we've had, you know, video presentation, that, like, pre-recorded video that has been part of some of the live events in the past. Like, it happens all the time. So it would be super great if you had a presenter that did that, if it were a logistical issue of getting that person out on the stage, you know, like the other ones. I'd be into that.
I feel terrible because the name of the executive you were referring to has escaped me briefly, because there were so many on stage.
I've completely blanked on it myself.
Yeah, but the point is, never mind logistics, she was also one of the best actual presenters that we saw during, you know, the best part of 2 hours.
I really liked her presentation aside from the rest of it. I liked her presentation. So that was great. What I'd like to do is start with the big stuff, I guess. We'll start with the headliniest of them, which, for lack of a better word, and that is the correctness of not only our discussions about ARM processors in the past, but that Apple Silicon is coming to Macs. And not only is it coming to Macs, it is coming to Macs precisely in the way that our own friendly neighborhood robot, Mr. Martellaro, came to the conclusion of, which is a developer program where a developer can apply very soon to get their own hardware. It's going to be a mini. And this hardware, I believe you can apply as of next week and get the developer transition kit sent to you. So, John?
Hamilton and I talked about that in recent TDO. I started off with the idea that it would be a Mac Mini, and they pointed out that most developers use MacBook Pros for their development and persuaded me that there would be a discount on an ARM-based MacBook Pro. But it turned out to be a Mac Mini, and my intuition was right after all.
But also a developer program, which I think was the thing that the thing that you had brought up that made me go, yeah, that sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, there are a couple things that pleased me. One was the quick availability of the Mac Mini with a 12Z, that ARM-based Macs would ship this year, that there would be a transition period over several years to Intel, to ARM, I'm sorry, and that there are Intel Macs in the pipeline still.
that to me was the most interesting.
The other thing that interested me was the virtualization feature. They didn't go into much detail about that. I'm not quite sure how it works. They certainly didn't talk about Windows on ARM-based Macs. They talked about Linux.
And Docker.
And I'm not quite sure what's going on there.
Yeah.
I talked to Parallels a while back on background mode. And they said if Apple built ARM-based Macs, would that be a giant headache for Parallels? And they said no, and they're working with Apple. But this virtualization thing seems to be kind of a baseline tool for developers to work on.
I would imagine that Apple didn't want to step on Microsoft's own announcements in terms of any kind of Windows.
Yeah. ARM
standpoint.
And it wasn't clear to me whether this was a complete virtualization package in which you install the foreign OS, or whether it was sort of an infrastructure on which app developers could build like Parallels. Mm-hmm. So that's to be determined.
The thing to me that was by far the most interesting was we get to the end of all of the Apple Silicon announcements, and I still say Silicon. It's very hard for me to say Silicon. That sounds weird to me. But anyway, that aside, that Tim Cook at the end.
Just don't say silicone.
Yeah, that's a very, very, very different.
Don't do that one. Don't do that.
That's
one.
A very different set of hardware. Yes.
Wow.
So,
wow, she went there. All right.
John went there.
I was
just
on
followed.
Mute at that point, I said nothing.
Charlotte was muted the entire time.
That's the kind of show we're doing. All right, I got to go ahead.
The thing that I was by far the most interested in was the casual mention at the end of, we even have more Intel Macs in the pipeline. Which, John, you mentioned,
IMAX.
But I thought
pretty
that
sure
was massive.
IMAX. Yeah, we've heard some pretty strong rumors about a bezel, small bezel iMac redesign, probably with the latest 10th generation Intel Core CPUs. Mm-hmm. And those have been around for a while. And that kind of fits in with the idea that the transition is going to take several years, which suggests that there are certain Macs are going to come out early with ARM, and then later Macs will transition. Mm-hmm. And Rosetta makes it all a no-brainer, Rosetta 2.
Yes.
So no matter what machine you buy, you'll be able to run.
And you are correct, John. It is called Rosetta 2. I have been jokingly referring to it as Rosetta SE because that makes me happy. So there you go.
sorry, just before John gives us a rundown of what Rosetta 2 is, in terms, am I right that we didn't actually, I may have been writing at the point, we never actually heard the word ARM at any point,
no.
Did we?
No, because they're not moving to ARM chips, Charlotte. They're moving to Apple Silicon.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't hear that word, but
it's 1:30.
The reality is inescapable. It is based on Apple's it's the A12Z. It's an ARM processor. It's what Apple is doing. They just didn't mention the word.
They're branding it as their own. What it is an ARM chip, and I will ask John about the specifics of what is an ARM chip. It's not really an Apple branded thing. And anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. But first, I would like to take a second to talk to you. Well, more than a second to talk to you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor this week is iMazing Configurator. I've talked to you about iMazing before. We all know who they are. We love them. You plug in your phone, you get a really awesome backup of everything. But now, and iMazing, when I say everything, I mean you get voicemails, you get text message backups. You can create backups from particular points in time. So, for example, you need a really solid backup of your phone before you go install Beta 1, which everyone will tell you is a terrible idea and you're totally going to do anyway. Guess what I'm doing later? You can use iMazing to manage all of those backup solutions. But this spring, iMazing has launched iMazing Configurator, which is a set of tools that you can use for local supervision, configuration, and provisioning of iOS devices. So if you ever have to do this in batches at a time, this is huge news. With iMazing Configurator, you can create a blueprint in a very easy to use editor, and then you can apply that to stacks and stacks of iPhones and iPads. You can do 20 at a time, whether it's update 20 all at once, or whether it's configure like two dozen iPads to, or you know, 20 iPads to launch one app in single app mode. These are things that you can do that are very easy to do. I've done a little bit of playing with this app myself, and it's super great. It's very easy to follow, even if you're a person who hasn't had to do a lot of configuration and suddenly you find yourself as a Mac admin or an iOS admin. This is a thing that you can totally do. It runs locally, so it will do all of the backups for you. You can push custom apps and contacts and media and files. You can do battery diagnostics with it and more. It's MDM aware, and it's fully compatible with devices that are already enrolled via DEP. If you know what that is, then you know that that's a big deal. And you can go get a free trial right now at imazing.com/configurator. Once again, that's imazing.com/configurator, and I'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. So we talked, Kelly, a little. Yes,
you've let John do his lap of honor.
Yes, I did not put the Chariots of Fire music underneath it, but yes, John
May
has
I
had
do
a victory
mine
lap.
Briefly,
I would like very much if you would do so.
They look like they're going to fix messages, and maps isn't going to suck anymore. And I'm really excited about this because these are things that irritate me on a close to daily basis.
Yes.
And they made a point of fixing these things across multiple devices. Messages and maps were mentioned. And that's okay. Really important, because while lots of our listeners and while we are already interested and excited about, you know, the changes to the ARM chips, to some of the, you know, Rosetta 2, all these really in-depth things that are going to be a really big deal for the developer community. Mm-hmm. For most users, like having an effective messages app, having an effective map that maybe protects your privacy a bit as well, mm-hmm. Is so important. So things like in a number of places, you're now going to get cycling directions on maps in iOS 14. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal, particularly at the moment. It would be a big deal anyway. It's particularly a big deal at a time when we're all trying to avoid using public transit a lot mm-hmm. more.
I did notice there was not a lot of discussion of public transit this time around, and right. We usually get a lot of that. Yeah.
There was also reference to finding electronic vehicle charging points and so on,
which was super cool.
But they've really taken what you know, is good about other apps and seem to have made it apply, if you like.
Yeah.
Now, the same with messages. I know you're still upset because there's still a bubble.
I am still upset because there's a bubble. Okay. I'm very shouty about it being speech balloons that take up way too much space on your screen. We get it. I know who's talking. It's fine. Yes.
But what they have made clearer in things like that they've really improved group messages. So now you can have notifications so that you only get a notification if you're mentioned in a group chat.
And threads.
So it's kind of a bit, I think of it more like how maybe you use Slack, where only if someone mentions your name, you get the notification.
And also with threads. So if there's a side conversation happening in the middle. Yeah. Inline replies, which is Slack threads. Yeah.
Yeah, really, really useful stuff, like practical things that people will use. And I think that's really, really positive.
Absolutely. Brian, how about you? Like, overall, what was your takeaway on some of this?
Kelly, thanks for having us. Good to be here. You know, one of the biggest things to me was on-device dictation.
Yes.
And the on-device translation with the Translate app on iPhone. I mean, that's some important stuff. That's really important stuff. You know, Apple got dinged pretty hard for not telling people that some of their messages to, or some of their communications with Siri mm-hmm. were being anonymized and offloaded to human processors for error correction. Mm-hmm. Apple got dinged pretty hard for that.
Very hard.
This, and rightfully so.
Yes.
Absolutely and positively rightfully so.
Oh, I'm not defending them at all. Yes.
Right. And the being able to do all this dictation and having the things you say to Siri handled on devices is huge. The yes. Translate app is super cool. The fact that things are going to be translated on devices, that's crazy. Come on. They can't do that.
I can't even imagine the horsepower in that, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't even make any sense. It's a bunch of, someone's lying. And,
it's magic. That's what's happening. We're going to get new phones with like little tiny wizards inside them that are going to do this for you. Yes.
And sort of related to the privacy report for websites is big. Yes. Being able to see the privacy sort of snapshots for apps in the App Store could be big. But I noticed, and I said this in the the live coverage we did.
The live coverage, yes.
Apple was very specific about the fact that that's self-reported information.
Yes.
By the developers. And they were so specific about the fact that it's self-reported and this is what the developers say. It makes me pretty confident that Apple intends to do zero due diligence on that. Like, in other words,
yeah,
to wash their hands.
We offer this. Whether you do anything with it, website is on you. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's actually for app developers, but yeah.
Well, app developers, yeah. But I thought it was, I did think that was interesting. We have a little tiny bit of time left. I kind of want to talk about watchOS. We've talked about some yes. iOS updates. I want to talk a little bit about watchOS for a couple of reasons. The first of which is the beta comes out next month, but also we saw some expanded health things. One thing that I was curious about was they suggest when you should pause a workout, but they don't suggest you should resume it, which I'm kind of bummed about.
strong like.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it? But really, aside from the general sort of update stuff, what I saw in that was interesting was sleep. So yes. that bedtime stuff is going to be a little more interactive and there's going to be a little bit more extra stuff with it, which sounds weird, but yeah, Charlotte has to mute and laugh at me now. Like it's just going to be a little bit bigger deal. And the sleep stuff is going to be more obvious than an easily ignorable notification that you said you wanted to be in bed about now. Ask me how I know how easily ignorable that is. And
no pulse oximeter announced.
True.
Yeah, but they wouldn't announce that. There was no, I mean,
that would come with a new watch. I would think
sleep tracking, and you have to you currently have to charge your iPhone, your Apple Watch at night.
No.
Well, okay, you don't have to if you have a plan to do it otherwise. So, for example, I wear my watch at night.
You're not getting more than 24 hours. Most people aren't even getting 24 hours.
I'm getting 4 days.
No.
You're not getting 4 days. What do you do with your Apple Watch?
John, do you plug it into yourself and charge? There's no way you get 4 days out of an Apple Watch.
Plug it into myself?
Yeah, the same ear where you have the flash drive right now. Yeah, do you just plug your watch in there?
Plug it into the other ear. Yeah,
regardless, my point is this. Apple announced a feature that yes. is going to require different performance behavior
yes.
yep.
from the hardware that it's running on. So,
yes.
And of course, they weren't announcing a new Apple Watch.
No.
So there's definitely going to be something coming this fall dealing with
watch would be required. Yeah.
Either.
There's, I jumped the gun.
Yeah, there's something.
I'm still saying.
Oh, I believe you.
Battery performance or charging.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be one of the two.
So here's what I can tell you, because I recently had to start getting up a lot earlier than I used to. And I've been using my watch to do that because the buzzing alert on my arm is a lot quieter and a lot more pleasant. So I've been using that. And what I do is drop my watch on the charger when I'm in the shower. And I also drop it on my charger when I know I'm going to be at my desk. So, for example, when I'm at my desk for the TMO Towers morning meeting, and while we are recording this, my watch is on its charger right now. And I have not found this to be deleterious. I put my phone in theater or my watch in theater mode when I go to bed so that it's not waking up all night. And I don't find that it puts a dramatic hit on my battery life to wear it overnight. So it's not dramatically different than it was when I went to bed. So for me, this has, yes, been a behavior change, Brian, but it has been absolutely possible and something that I find very useful. So
there's one other Apple Watch thing. It's less significant in terms of what you and Brian are discussing, but another kind of new element, a sign of our times, was that Apple made an explicit point about talking about hand washing monitoring.
Yes, I thought that was lovely.
Via the Apple Watch. Now, John put, while we were all having our Slack conversation about this, John put, Apple want, where's the effect of Apple now wants to run, regulate your life or run your life? And got a lot of love for me from this because I kind of think he's right. It's, I understand why, but one, if you kept, like, there's nothing wrong with you setting a 20-second timer anyway.
I will point out Matthew Casanelli has a very popular shortcut that will allow you to do this. Hi, Matthew.
This is a tool for people to use. It's auto-detecting something. Why are you whining about it?
I'm not particularly whining about it. It's slightly freaks me out that it's listening to your tap running, but I'm not whining. It's just another thing to
As long as it's handling it on device, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. Well, all right. Let me rephrase that. To me, it's not a big deal if it's listening for it on device.
Especially if it's on device, and B, like a lot of things, this is going to end up being optional. You can turn it on or not. It's fine. It's up to you. So someday Charlotte will get an Apple Watch, and the first thing she'll do is turn it off, and it'll be fine.
What Charlotte and I are complaining about is that the sum of all those features in iOS 14 seemed like the phone was taking over your life to an even greater extent. And the hand washing was the sort of like the last step in the process of regulating your life down to the last details of washing your hands. Pretty soon there's going to be an NFC sensor in your toothbrush to figure out whether you've got the back teeth correctly right, and then report on your Health Act app whether
you're brushing your teeth correctly. In the immortal words of Moon Unit Zappa, gag me with a spoon.
Well, it's you lose, because it's Charlotte and me against you, Brian. We win.
Quick poll.
Readers, I might disagree.
This particular argument.
Listen, I'm just pleased I'm on Team John.
As you should be. It's a good place to be. I will have to go ahead and call it there. We've talked about a lot of stuff today. We will have more to talk about as more of these pieces of information become clear to us. We're about to head into the State of the Union. We'll be able to watch that soon, talk more about that. And I want to thank all three of you for being here today. Charlotte, thank you so much for coming by.
I'm going for a lie down.
Charlotte can't even make it through the State of the Union. I totally understand. This does tend to be an endurance event. Also with me today, I have John Chi Charger Martellaro.
I'm removing the USB flash drive right now.
All right. And last but by no means least, I have Brian Chaffin and his hat.
I was not a part of this. Neither was my hat. I was not here.
Okay.
I kid. It's great to be here. I love John and Charlotte. Good discussion. Thank you, Kelly, for having us. We do appreciate it.
So apparently I'm your host, Chop Liver. Thanks, Brian.
I thanked the guests and then I thanked you.
It's okay. We'll figure it out later. It's fine. Anyway, as Brian said, I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. I will no doubt talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.